Well, there's nothing quite so depressing, I think, as when you go for a snorkel in one of the world's great wonders and it is grey and dead. We know the Great Barrier Reef is in dire straits, and 2 years ago, more than 40% of its coral was bleached in a catastrophic heat wave. Since then, scientists have been working towards bringing the World Heritage Area back to health, and one of the ways they're doing that is through reef restoration. We're joined by Adam Smith, the director of the group Reef Ecologic. Ecologic, should be. How is it, Adam?
Look, we're trying our absolute best. We're working with a range of people. It's Reef Ecologic.
Okay, Reef Ecologic. He's also an associate professor at James Cook University. Thanks for joining me tonight. What is reef restoration?
Reef restoration is a bit like coral gardening. So it's taking small bits of healthy coral, sometimes even endangered or threatened species of coral, putting them in a nursery, allowing them to grow, and then transplanting them back on the reef. So it's a relatively simple technique that has been used in other areas throughout the world, such as the Caribbean, but it's fairly new in Australia because we haven't needed it up until the last couple of years.
And boy, do we need it now.
Look, I'm an optimist, and there are some beautiful, healthy places still on the Great Barrier Reef, including some of the reefs offshore Townsville and around the Capricornia bunker groups. But you're right, the last 2 years have been devastating for large parts of the reef, including the far north, which was always the bastion of, you know, biodiversity, where there were no major threats from coastal development or water quality or the usual things.
Mm. And in terms of the micro-fragmenting, talk to us about that.
So there's a whole lot of different ways of doing reef restoration, and micro-fragmentation was an accident by a scientist called David Vaughan at Moat Marine Lab in Florida. He dropped a coral and he noticed that these tiny little bits grew and grew extremely quickly. So David Vaughan, who's a colleague, says, I'm out of retirement and I'm going to grow and replant 1 million corals before I die.
1 million. So that's about breaking up existing corals into smaller parts and then putting them back at the reef?
That's correct. So there's a whole lot of different techniques, from the very simple coral gardening, which can be done by citizen scientists and tourism operators and Indigenous people, and the micro-fragmentation is, I suppose, much more sophisticated, involving laboratories and scientists, still working with broad stakeholders, and there's a whole suite of tools in between.
The thing is, though, doesn't the reef take hundreds of thousands of years, the coral, to develop? So how do you make it regrow fast or quickly, given that it's something that takes such a long time and is so slow?
Well, it's complicated. There's hundreds of species of coral. Some grow very slowly. The large Pyrites bommies, they've taken coral cores from them. They can be 6, 8, 1,000 years old. The fast-growing staghorn corals are a bit more like our grasses and weeds. They can recover very quickly and grow 10, 20 centimetres a year and repopulate an area quickly. But it's that biodiversity of tens or hundreds of species of coral that really make a coral reef with a combination of fast and slow. It's a bit like a tropical rainforest.
Right. So we'll have more luck with the faster-growing ones, but for that diversity, that's going to be something different. I mean, could this just, even if we can save the reefs and bring them back using these devices, will they be a different sort because we won't have those long-growing ones at anything like the same extent?
Well, again, it's complicated, and we're not saying that reef restoration using the current technology can save the Great Barrier Reef. It's vast. It's 2,300 kilometres long, hundreds of thousands of square kilometres. Currently, reef restoration is done on quite small scale, tens, hundreds of metres, even a hectare. So it has a number of benefits. Some of them are ecological, but some of them are also social and economic, in that we're finding if you get people involved and sharing knowledge about the reef and allow them to help by being part of citizen science or planting a coral, they might change their other behaviours. They might do more recycling. They might offset their carbon inputs. those sort of things. So there's multiple benefits.
Right, yeah, and good awareness raising. So where do you have those projects where locals are getting involved?
So we've got 5 current projects between Port Douglas and the Whitsundays, different partners in each area. Fitzroy Island is doing really well. We're working with the Reef Restoration Foundation there and local hotel operators, and we've not only got a successful nursery, but we've also outplanted corals onto what were degraded reefs, and we've just started a nursery in the last couple of months in the Whitsundays.
Yeah, and that's really, I suppose, when people can see it and touch it and feel it and feel like they're a part of it, that should be an encouraging. I mean, it sounds, though, we're getting to the point where a little patch of reef that's artificially gardened and reconstructed will be a tourist site of the future, like an endangered animal we go and visit in a zoo.
Again, it's complicated, but most tourism on the Great Barrier Reef happens in a couple of areas, Cairns and the Whitsundays, and in quite small patches. And the average tourist, you know, doesn't cover more than 100 or 150 metres. So a lot of tourism operations around pontoons, for example, focus on a quite healthy home bommy or home reef, and they care about those areas. They actively remove crown of thorns, starfish, trapellus snails. If a cyclone comes through, they tip over bommies to right them so that they're right way up. So reef restoration is another form of intervention in looking after a patch and trying to make it as good as it possibly can be.
All right. Well, there's some hope then, I suppose, in terms of some work that can be done. But as we said, it's a massive undertaking and a huge area has been bleached. I guess we need that sea to not get any hotter.
We do. And the good news is that this year, with all the rain and a couple of cyclones, it appears that we've missed the third massive coral bleaching in a row. But globally, the effects of climate change are not good. So certainly one of the key things we do as part of our reef restoration programs is talk about climate change and talk about what people can do to not only reduce their impacts, but all their colleagues. Have a conversation, talk about how precious reefs are and what steps we can all take.
Indeed. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Sarah.